And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, Lessons from the Wine. But listen to this. Before we get there, we're going to have Mark Stengler hanging out with us. He's live in the studio right now, co-author of Cult Shock. He is actually in the house. This is going to be pretty fascinating because Cult Shock is a book you want to read and you want to understand, especially if you ever hear this. That's what you really want to know it for. Later in the show, we're going to have the professor of retirement, our very own Marty Schneider, joining us live in today's Facebook post. Which one are you right now?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving. That's nice. I like surviving. Living. Again, that's a little better than surviving because it's kind of living. And then prevailing. Oh, that's a step up from living for sure. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Yes, we do have to cover some of it. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio, and I've proven that for 1,100 shows. Ha! It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, and then we're coming back with Mark Stengler, Cult Shock. Don't go anywhere, because you're going to learn something.
National and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da Ai Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened, and then one day she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit Whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
What if I could tell you when a wildfire was going to happen? Of course, I can't, but shouldn't you be ready anyway? Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
In the early days of computers, the acronym GIGO was often used. GIGO stood for garbage in, garbage out. If you wanted the computer to give accurate information, you had to give it accurate data. The human mind is like a computer in that it mirrors the information we feed it. A verse in Proverbs captures this idea when it says, "As he thinks in his heart, so is he." We become like what we think about. That's why the Bible says to think on those things that are true, noble, pure, excellent, and lovely. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's thoughts on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Got a book in my... Now, I get 90 books a month, just so you can know. I mean, this is like book after book after book. Although I do find the books about, you know, creating paper airplanes fascinating. Probably not going on the show. It's not great radio. Just being honest. So I got this book called Cult Shock.
Who is it?
Sorry to disturb you, ma'am. I'm from Jehovah's Witnesses.
Okay. It comes out of Saturday Night Live, for those that don't know. 1976, 77 years. That was the land shark joke, for those that didn't know. See, originally, people, they'd knock on the door, you know, who is it? Candy Graham. And they opened the door and a land shark would bite them. And then that last one was Jehovah's Witness. I couldn't pass it up. Anyway, Mark Stengler Sr. wrote this book. It's called Cult Shock, the book Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons don't want you to read. What was ironic about it is it came in, Don Onus sent it off to me, sent me a personal note, and I was like, no, I got to have these guys on because there's a lot of people in the audience that don't know how to respond or how to talk to people when people are knocking on the door, because sometimes the cults will come in and they'll give you a line of reasoning, and if you don't know how to rip it to shreds, you kind of feel like you're on the defense. That's kind of what happens. If you're obnoxious enough, they put a little mark on your address and say, never, ever, ever go by that house under any circumstance again. It's happened. That's all I'm going to say. With the Mormon faith, yes, I actually was tossed out of the tour for standing up on the table and telling them all to repent and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or they're all going to the first Mormon church of hell. Yes, I did do that. I didn't get arrested, though, so that was kind of nice. I thought that was good. And these gentlemen, Mark and Mark, it's good because your names are the same, makes it a lot easier, have written a book to help people understand. And it is also endorsed by one of my favorite authors and somebody who's been on the show before, a great, great guy, Josh McDowell. So I really have a great appreciation. First of all, Mark Stengler Jr.
Yep.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Great to be with you.
All right. Thanks for writing the book. Tell us in the simplistic terms, you wrote a book. Why'd you write it? That's the first question.
Right. So my dad and I had just so many experiences witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. We realized what tactics they use, what verses they use. And by God's grace, we knew how to refute them pretty much every time, and also what verses and techniques to show them that they can refute so they can know the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And we were thinking, like you said, you know, they're knocking on doors. A lot of, you know, unfortunately, a lot of Christians probably just don't answer the door or say, you know, I'm not interested. But they're spreading a false gospel. They're telling people about a false Jesus, going door to door, passing a literature. And we want the body of Christ to step up and refute this these accusations they levy, but also show them the true gospel. So first of all, they're, of course, born again. They know the true Jesus, but also so they stop deceiving others.
You know, what's important is that if you go into Galatians and you look at the passage where Paul talks about if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, you can't identify that in too many places, ironically. If you think about Galatians, it's like well, where are you going to put that? Who's going to fit? It's not as though the Muslims, we don't agree with the Muslim concept in any way, shape, or form, but they're not preaching a gospel. They're preaching a completely different religion, so it kind of doesn't fall under that category. It's got to be then, as Paul was saying, much more of a slight left or a slight right perversion of the truth. Isn't that kind of where you end up when you start looking at the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they'll use Christian or biblical concepts. Oh, we believe Jesus is the Savior. He's the Messiah. We need salvation. You dig a little bit deeper, and their salvation is a works-based system. Their Jesus is not the one true Almighty God. So it's not enough to just say, oh, you know what, they have their Jesus, they have their views on God. That's all right. No. The Bible clearly says, like you said, Paul warned, you know, there's going to come false teachers. We need to be prepared to refute and defend the true faith from them.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I had you guys come on, is because Jesus mentions, hey, there's going to be false messiahs, there's going to be false Jesus, there's going to be false Christ. It's like, this is that.
Right, right. Yeah.
Ding, 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 right, ding. Connection right. time, connection time. So in writing the book, mm-hmm. you wrote this so that Christians could use it not just for a defensive position, but for an offensive kind of, so they can forwardly hear the truth, not just defend the faith, but also then advance the faith. Was it easier to write defending it? Or was it easier to write forwarding the faith? You know how you have those right. two different elements? What was easier and what was harder?
I think the forwarding a little bit, because that's a little more fun sometimes when you kind of, I don't use debate terms because you're not debating them per se, but going the offensive to show them, okay, these are the verses that show Jesus is the true God, that we're saved by faith and repentance and faith, not works. But our chapter 6, the apologetics for common cultic attacks, the hard part in that one actually was figuring out which ones to do, which ones are the main one. We have about 33 of them. You got to narrow it down. But those are the main 33 you'll hear. And it's just incredible. There are organizations have taught them, use these verses. This is what they mean. And when you refute them, you have to tell them, look, this is your organization's explanation of these verses. It's eisegesis, not exegesis. You're not properly interpreting the text. So when you have to throw off those blinders of, oh, this is what the Watchtower said, therefore it's true. Or this is what the LDS organization said, this verse says that. No. We got to look at the historical, true biblical context of these verses, because that's the majority of their accusations, is just mistranslating, misinterpreting these verses. And we show in the book how they're properly used in their context to show what they really mean.
All right. So a couple of things I want people to know. You can go to Amazon.com, because you can pretty much go to Amazon.com and eat cotton candy. So you can do kind of whatever you want. You can go get Cult Shock, the book Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons Don't Want You to Read. But, you hear that but? In the dictionary, that means on the other hand, for those that don't know. But Mark and Mark Jr., Mark Sr., have their own website, and with that website is filled with materials that people can utilize in this whole spiritual warfare, right?
Absolutely.
What is that? What is that website?
Right. So our ministry is Please Tell Me the Truth Ministries. Our website is pleasetellmethetruth.org.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's great.
So it's a little
pleasetellmethetruth.org.
Yeah. Right.
That's fantastic.
So tell me the truth, but in a polite way, I guess.
Yeah. That's great. Hold on. I want to write that down. That is great. Please tell me the truth.
That's right.
Who came up with it? You or your dad?
Actually, I have to give credit to my dad for that one. Very ingenious.
That's really good. Please tell me the truth. I love it. That's great. Please tell me the truth.org. So that's going there. They have an advantage, though, because they can just not just pick up the book, but different materials supporting the book and supporting what we're talking about.
Right. So if they go to a website and download the book, they'll get two free special reports, one on how to witness to atheists, especially the more militant type, because that can really give Christians trouble. So a free special report on that.
Really?
Also one on witnessing to secular people that say religion's not for me. So two free special report downloads if you go to pleasetellmethetruth.org.
Wow. Now, as you wrote this, I mean, did you have other people helping you guys go, hey, you know, what about this? Hey, what about this? Because I had a couple of, once I got tossed out, that was kind of a bad scene. So I had some people come over and then say, well, what's the problem? What's the problem? You know, like kind of attitude. And my response was pretty clear. It's like Joseph Smith said that from the death of the last apostle until his birth, there was no true church. But Jesus said, I build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So either Joseph Smith was a liar or Jesus was a liar.
Right.
But not both. So pick. And it's like, let's see. Joseph Smith, Jesus. Joseph Smith,
right.
Jesus. Okay, ding, 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 ding. Do people help you with that and give you different insights and stuff like that?
You know, God just gave us so many opportunities to witness to him. The book's very practical, though it does contain their beliefs and doctrines. So we really knew a lot about what they would say. So then we try to really incorporate that in the book, saying, oh, by the way, a Jehovah's Witness will probably say this. A Mormon's been taught this. So in their conversations, when they bring up these things their organization has taught them, they're not caught off guard.
Right.
So it's very comprehensive. But we also were fortunate to actually have a seminary professor review it for us, the book, to make sure it was theologically sound, because we don't want to fall into heresy.
It might be a difference between Pentecostal and Baptist, but
right.
evangelical theology is still evangelical theology.
Right.
We want to have some kind of connection to it. I'd like to hold you over and do another segment, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
I do want people to know, pleasetellmethetruth.org, right? Pleasetellmethetruth.org. I know it's hard to believe I could see that from that. The book is called Cult Shock, the book Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons don't want you to read. There's probably a reason for that, isn't there? So we're going to take a short break and then come back with Mark Stengler. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California.
The place where I belong.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Consider this. It's never God's will for us that we suffer only to learn something. This is Jim Garlow. Do we learn in the midst of sickness and pain? Well, of course we do. But God doesn't use our suffering just to learn something. God instructs us through the Word because He cares for us. He's a God of grace. Sickness was brought to this earth by the enemy. It's a work of Satan. It's the enemy who has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Healing is the work of God. It is Jesus who's come to give life and to give it more abundantly. Your Heavenly Father loves you intensely. Never doubt His compassion, His mercy, and His love for you. Yes, we thank God that we've learned when we're ill, even in times of sickness, heartache, pain, and suffering. But we thank Him even more that He is the God who heals, and we can learn from Him from His Word. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
Hey, KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted KPRZ partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
We divorced in August of 92, and obviously, we didn't keep going to the same church.
Cheryl Scruggs on Focus on the Family Minute.
So I'm the one that left and went to a new church. And again, this church was just, the gospel was being preached every single week. And these women at the church my age were normal, fun, and they kept loving on me, and I kept thinking, why do they love me so much? I'm a mess. My life's a mess. I just went through a divorce. I felt like I had a scarlet, you know, letter on me and all of that. And what I realized is what they had was Jesus, and I didn't. And so within a couple of months, literally 3 months after we divorced, I came to know the Lord.
Regardless of the circumstances, God's love doesn't change, and He'll reach you in your most broken moments. More encouragement today from Cheryl at FamilyMinute.org.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Let me give you a quick check on the weather. Yep. All right, we've been hanging out talking about, that's right, that's all that is. It's just a joke. There's nothing better. It doesn't get better. The humor's not any better. They don't pay me for comedy. In fact, they hardly pay me at all. Cult Shock, the book Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons don't want you to read. You can access that by going to pleasetellmethetruth.org. That's where we'd prefer you to go, and I'll tell you why. Because they have articles and tracks, and you get this opportunity. If you buy it, you get some other reports, and it's all part and of the package. You can still get it on Amazon for those that are, I've got Amazon Prime, Dave, and I want to use it. Okay. But one way or another, if you are a person that says, you know, when they knock on the door, I don't know what to do. Well, that's why this book is here, to help you. All right, so we've got Mark here. So it's Dr. Mark Stengler and Mark Stengler Jr. So your name, you ever get confused? Do people get you guys confused?
Oh, yeah, that okay. All the time.
I got to work that out so that I can say, talk to him. That's my kid.
Right.
I haven't figured that out yet. That's good. Your dad was smart. All right. So background, because people are going to want to know a little bit about it. It's like, okay, well, Mark, how'd you get to this place where you can write a book like this?
Right. No, that's a great question. My dad went to Southern California Seminary, so he does have his master's of religious studies. I'm actually a biblical studies student at Liberty University.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, world's largest Christian university. And I've had the book's been reviewed actually by one of my theology professors there as well. So praise God, we had a lot of top minds to look over, and we got the okay from them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so my dad's been engaged in evangelism for a long time. And when I became actually born again at around age 16, I was very passionate about sharing my faith. And of course, encountered the Jehovah's Witnesses on the streets, saw the Mormons riding their bicycles. I'd stop them, I'd engage with them, and it's just appalling. It just appalled me that I was like, oh my goodness, you guys believe Jesus is an angel, and you're telling people about this. or you're saying that we can all become gods one day, in the case of Mormonism.
Yeah.
And so my dad and I teamed up, and since he'd engaged with them before I did, and he helped me out, and then we'd evangelize them together. And then out of that, all those experiences and our research came this book.
It's a great story on how the Lord used your life and then kind of merged you with your dad. And then you guys got together and wrote this. And by the way, Liberty University, especially the online education, is great. I'm assuming you're using Blackboard.
If you're, right.
Yeah, I know all about that. Ad nauseum. Don't even ask. Mm-hmm. But the idea is to understand that when somebody knocks on that door, you don't need to be afraid.
Right.
And I think therein lies part of the problem is people feel like, well, I have not been equipped, or I've not taken a class. Well, sometimes, as opposed to even taking a class, which there are, by the way, classes, but it's good to read the material that helps you. There's materials on the Walter Martin's Kingdom of the Cults is like one of the great all-time classics of all time. But a book like this gives you the straight, practical. If somebody knocks on your door and they say, you know, besides Landshark, if they say, you know, we're, you know, one of the Jehovah's Witnesses, which, of course, they never explain why they're not Jesus Witnesses. We'll deal with that another time. Or they're Mormons, and it's like most people go, oh, the Mormons are really nice people. Well, there's a lot of really nice people, but that's not the way to heaven. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And we've gone through 32 passages in one session showing all of the by Jesus alone passages. You can't change that. It doesn't matter. It's like, here, heaven is God's house and Jesus is the door. Figure it out. You know, it's like, that's it. So you guys are just equipping,
right,
essentially. What did you learn that you didn't know when you wrote the book?
Wow, there was a lot, because sometimes my answers to some of their accusations would be a little bit too surface level. So it's nice when you understand a concept, you can explain it better, of course.
Right.
But also just something God taught me throughout that time was that our conversations, and no matter who we're witnessing to, should always be gospel and Christ-centered. You know, it's not our goal with this book is not to prepare a Christian just to crush a cultist in a debate.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
okay,
you have an end goal of bringing the truth to them.
Right. So it's like, okay, great. I just destroyed this guy with all these verses and walk away and he's crying. Okay. I mean, it doesn't help. It doesn't help too much. But to make them actually think, to think about what they believe in. Oh, man, am I really born again? Does this organization really care for me? Do I know the true Jesus? Or more importantly, does the true Jesus know me?
Right.
So that's what we're aiming at there.
Excellent. And you're doing a great job, by the way. I don't know if you've how many radio interviews you've done, but you're doing a great job just talking and going. I don't think have we used a question on this yet?
We're having fun.
I don't think so. All right, so do stuff like that. Right. So I want to, did your dad convey with you, because I find that process fascinating that you did with your dad. Did your dad convey with you something that he came across that he, I mean, was this revelatory for him as well? Because he's pretty seasoned. Mm-hmm. He's educationally steeped. Did he learn something that he shared with you? I'm just curious if there was like a family, not a kumbaya moment, but like, hey, this is really revelatory.
Right. I think, especially when we did our research on the Trinity, we really go in depth of showing the historical nature of the Trinity, as well as the biblical. But these cults will tell you the Trinity was invented by the Roman Emperor Constantine. I mean, even I've heard like atheists say this stuff. But what we do is, and I think this is honestly really strengthens my own faith, and I'm sure his as well, is you look at Christian history and you find that the earliest Christians, after they taught by the apostles, believe that Jesus was God. It's like, wow. So this isn't just, you know, some invention by Paul or the disciples didn't just make this up. This is what earliest Christians believed in. And we can also see how they believed God was a Trinity as well.
Right.
So it just boosts your confidence. And this is a historic faith. This isn't just something like in case of the cults in the 1800s, which a man received a private revelation and everyone else was wrong, but only he got it right. So it really does boost your faith. And I think it's a very powerful argument to show them as well. What we like to ask the cults is, does it really seem in God's nature that for 1,800 years...
Yeah, took a break, went to
right,
Pluto.
Right, right.
I'm off to Pluto. Bye.
Right.
All right, when I get back. Yeah. Bye.
That, you know, he'd deceive everyone. And all of a sudden with Joseph or Charles Taze Russell, they'll just tell this one guy. I mean, it's just absurd. You know, God has spoken, it's written in Scripture, and it's been preserved throughout the ages.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest, I think, premises so that you can know for... Salem Communications, for KPRZ, and for a lot of Christian stations. Look, if God can create the universe, the dude can write a book.
Right.
I mean, it's like, there's no, this not, this isn't, you know, wow. Oh, what a leap. What? This is not a leap. It's like, come on. And so, and right. Then people are like, oh, well, people change it. So let me get this straight. He can speak the universe into existence, but he can't maintain what he wants to say. He needs a new publicist, if that's the case. I mean, that's just absurdity. What... besides equipping and leading them, what are you hoping this ministry that the Lord is kind of launching you into? Because you're young,
right.
And you're in the educational process. You've right. got a book going. You even had your professor review. You've had other people that are, you know, into letters, and they've reviewed it and kind of, okay, this is a, where are you hoping for you? Where are you hoping this goes?
Yeah, I think that the vision God's given me is that Christians are confident to share their faith out of love with any people group. Just for example, on our website, pleasetellmethetruth.org, we have some awesome conversations recorded with Muslims. It's with subtitles and explaining what's going on. So a Christian can watch that and say, oh, I understand what he's doing now. I can go witness to my Muslim neighbor. And again, not just to debate them, not to just say, hey, look, Islam's false, I'm right, but to actually bring them to Christ. So give them the confidence and also build their own faith, because I know for myself, I've questioned, you know, is this Trinity really biblical? Is this really true, this Trinity? I then do the research, find the scriptures. Okay, wow, I don't have to worry about that because God has spoken and it's clear. So boosting their own faith, getting them a bigger love for Jesus, and also that confidence to witness to anyone through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. I mean, that's... it's great stuff. So I'm going to ask you one more question. I think the part of the Trinity is really important, too, because in the framework of humanity, I don't think people recognize the natural witness. I have a mind. I have a heart. I have a body. My name is David. Mm. And it's like that's the unification. They all work as one essence, but yet three personage or three aspects that runs. And that, you know, the history of it, you know, being Jewish, and it's like, let's just go to Gen 1.
Right,
just,
right.
I have a great time. Like, right. See this word Elohim? Let's talk about this word.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the origin of this word. But anyway, let's ask you the one big question, then we'll reset up for people to get the book, and then we're going to have to jet. What's the next project? Anything in the works?
You know, I think we possibly might get a... we went to New York City, actually. We filmed a documentary on evangelism.
Uh-huh.
And we had a cross-section of different people, Muslim, Hindu, you know, secular, to equip Christians. So we'll be coming out with that. But maybe making a book kind of off our experiences, like I said. So giving a general overview of, okay, I want to witness my Buddhist neighbor. I have a Muslim coworker. What are the practical ways versus I can
got
show
it.
Them?
Yeah, so yeah. A practical guide.
Absolutely.
For all. Excellent. All right, folks, so there's a couple ways you can access this, and this is what you want to do. PleaseTellMeTheTruth.org. That's the primary. If you can't do that, do Amazon. Cult Shock, the book Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons don't want you to read. We've been joined by Mark Stengler Jr. His dad, Mark Stengler Sr., helped him write the book. They wrote it together as a project. Pick it up. It's good equipment to know how to respond when you hear... All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we're coming back with Marty. Don't go anywhere.
National and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him. When Da Ai Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, I will never believe your God and change my religion. But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
In the early days of computers, the acronym GIGO was often used. GIGO stood for Garbage In, Garbage Out. If you wanted the computer to give accurate information, you had to give it accurate data. The human mind is like a computer in that it mirrors the information we feed it. A verse in Proverbs captures this idea when it says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. We become like what we think about. That's why the Bible says to think on those things that are true, noble, pure, excellent, and lovely. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's thoughts on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Is this you? Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. The guest that I have on, one of our bestest guestists. I don't know if you can say that. That sounds funny. One of the bestest guestists. Gotta speed that up. Marty's a grandfather six times over. Gotta speed that up. Marty, I'm sorry that we were delayed. We had a live guest in here. Really fascinating material about a father and a son who wrote a book called Cult Shock, dealing with Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses when they knock on your door. Really some interesting stuff.
Yeah, and I got to catch the last five or so minutes of that. It sounds really fascinating.
Yeah, really good. I'm really proud. They did a great job. All right, my friend, you are always, you are like one of us.
Yes.
Just six times you're a grandpa now. So that's why we weren't able to hook up. So you got six. So now how many boys, how many girls?
Well, there's only one girl out of the six. So my daughter had her third here in San Diego, and it's her third boy. And so Noah Peter Doyle was born into the world on Monday morning. And everybody's good. Everybody, they're home today, home from the hospital, you know, and everybody's healthy and doing great. So very, very excited.
Awesome. Awesome. Very excited. Now, you know, I'm far behind you, but I am in route with, you know, with two, one in the oven. So I'll have three by November.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty fast, from nothing to three. Like, wow, that's fast.
Yeah, that was quick, David.
Yeah, and then I'm already starting to worry because there's always these other discussions. And, you know, when they discuss things, you just sit there and go, hamana, 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 hamana. That's because I don't want to hear.
I hear Jackie Gleason in the house.
Yeah, exactly. All right, my friend, talk to me about what a planet we live on.
It's a Meshuggah planet, David, for sure.
I can't follow half of this. I'm just honest.
I'll tell you, just the last 3 days are kind of evidence of what we're talking about in terms of the investment markets. Tuesday, the market got clobbered after the word came out that the Republicans were going to delay the health care vote till after the 4th of July, and boy, the market tanked at the end of the day there. Yesterday, it got most of that back because it had a good day, and today it had another terrible day. And so it's just been this kind of daily roller coaster with dramatic, you know, dramatic swings. It's just looking for directions. It's not sure what it should do. And investors are, you know, excited one day and then bailing on the market the next day. And yeah, pretty volatile times, David.
What? I mean, the Republicans not passing or getting done the bill on the health care was, I think that was a no-brainer that people thought that was gonna have an impact. What brought the market back? And before you answer, I'm going to give you my guess, and then you can laugh at me. And then what brought the market back down? I was trying to figure out if the market came back because everybody figured out finally that CNN had been lying all this time, and who didn't know that? And then I think, you know, pretty much the fall lineup looks kind of lousy, and so nobody's happy. I don't know. Am I wrong?
I think you've nailed it. So, you know, I mean, it's like when the healthcare thing happened, I think the big issue for investors is where they're going, oh, no, you know, is this agenda going to get done? And if we can't get healthcare done, will we get tax reform done and deregulation issues done? I mean, it's just that whole confidence in the ability of this administration to deliver on, you know, its primary agenda. And so the delay here in the healthcare thing where the Republicans can't even agree on, you know, on what that should look like, infighting. And so investors get skittish on that. And I think more so than even the healthcare, it relates back to the whole, are they going to ever reform taxes? And when do they get to that? And healthcare was first, and we may never get to taxes. So that puts that, you know, concern into the market. And as I've said, David, this thing is priced to perfection. If there's, you know, if there's agenda items that don't get done, I think this market is poised for, you know, a pretty good correction. And so it's priced as if everything will be done. And when there's evidence to the contrary, it begins to quiver a little bit.
Does that volatility and the way that it's becoming, just it's almost like exceedingly volatile. Mm-hmm. Does that, not just from that planning point of view, because I've heard you say in the past that you got to be a little bit more stable, you got to just sit tight, but does that make you concerned with the strategies because it's got less of a, you know, a consistent flow?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a conversation, David, and particularly with, you know, when clients come in, as today, a gentleman coming in, he's retiring here in the middle of August, and looking at how he's got his, you know, 401k funds allocated. And it makes me very concerned because the last thing we want is, as you're, you know, nudging up to the goal line here, we don't want to take a 15-20%, you know, smackdown in these values, and that could certainly happen. So we have to be very careful about, you know, not exposing all of our assets to that one risk. And this is where the idea of properly diversifying and, you know, having some the funds that are longer term that aren't going to be needed in the short run can bear certain risks that the short-term money can't bear because of that volatility issue that you just talked about. So it's putting that together in a strategy that, you know, meets the need for current income today and also the need for growth, you know, 5, 7, 10 years downstream. And David, gosh, we have retirees now that are, you know, retired for 35, 40 years. They may be retired for as many years as they spent working these days as people continue to live longer and longer. So that inflation issue becomes a part of that conversation too. We've got to have growth there as well.
You know, I guess I get, you know, it's easy to understand why a person would get nervous, and it's easy to understand that you want to plan for it, but there is that, you know, that reality that, look, this is going to be up to God ultimately. The best you can do is basically the best you can do. But it certainly concerns me that something like real estate has as much volatility as it does, because, you know, first of all, it's the earth. They're not making any more. So,
right.
I mean, there should be some kind of finite, you know, this is the bottom line kind of thing. But it seems like that doesn't even exist, and that it's almost more emotion.
Mm-hmm.
On a regular basis. It used to be emotion in moments and spikes and drops. Now it's like emotion every day.
Yeah, and you think about the way that we communicate now, say, versus, you know, 25 years ago, the speed with which information gets disseminated disseminated, and the social media and the internet, and what used to take 3, 4, 5 days to really become generally known information is now done in the push of a button. And so that I think creates some of the additional volatility, David, just that speed of information travel, also the interconnectedness between continents and nations has changed economies to a great degree. And I think the last thing is that when we talk about the emotion, and just using real estate, David, as an example, you're right, they're not making any more of this stuff, but what really drives it is demand for it, and that's related to interest rates and the cost of borrowing and employment and how many people can actually afford to pay these kind of prices for real estate. So the variables that impact these kinds of things are pretty plentiful, and so it's rarely one singular issue. It's sort of the multiple of issues that impact all those pricing issues.
How does a Christian not be afraid of this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great question. Boy, I guess from a Christian standpoint, what we've got to do is understand, where our long-term security lies. And we know it's not in our, 401k plan. And it's, also understanding that we're just kind of passing through here for a short period of time. And we know where eternity is. And I think when we focus, David, our attitude on the spiritual truths, the practical day-to-day living truths and financial truths kind of work themselves out. God is the ultimate supplier, and it's God's economy that will ultimately rule, but we still need to make these practical stewardship decisions along the way. And if we can understand that this is temporal here, and that we need to focus on eternity, I think it just calms the soul and calms the spirit a great deal.
Yeah, and I think that advice is so excellent, because people who aren't operating in that will tend to make decisions, and they'll often be rash decisions, overly emotional decisions. It's those, like I said, rash split second, and then that will have much worse consequences than the patience of waiting on the Lord and trying to be directed and led and guided and use as much wisdom in the multitude of counselors.
Yes, amen to that. And but you're so right, because so often those short-term decisions that are made spur of the moment are emotional, and usually it's fear-based. And we know we're not called to live in a spirit of fear, and we have a victory that we get to claim, and we need to claim that in those places where it's most difficult to claim it. And for a lot of people, that's the financial realm, David.
Yeah, excellent point. Marty, you are always fantastic. Again, I apologize that we got to you a minute or two late. But it was some pretty amazing material. But that review you just gave, that's what Christians need to be aware of so that they don't get swallowed up by the fear of the world. That was just really well said. And listen, if you're listening to us right now and you don't have somebody to talk to, you need to talk to Marty. You can't even bring your checkbook. He still has that checkbook detector up there. It'll kick it right out and throw it right in the street, so you can't even bring it. Just leave it in the car or leave it at home, if you even use a checkbook, because now most people use everything electronically. The bottom line, you want to get in touch with him, 800-727-PLAN. 800-727-7526. You can also go to theretirementprofessor.com. Thank you, sir, for joining us and giving us that insight and wisdom. And congratulations, Grandpa, 6 times over.
Yeah, David, thanks so much. Always a great joy to be with you. We'll look forward to talking with you next week.
You got it, brother. God bless you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, creatures of all ages and sizes, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back with our Facebook post. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
What can you do to create a healthy relationship with your daughter? Dr. James Dobson gives us six suggestions. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. On his website, Dr. James Dobson's FamilyTalk.org, Dobson says there are many times a parent's authority will be challenged. He writes, in those times, it is extremely important for you to win. The reason, a child who behaves in ways that are disrespectful or harmful to herself or others often has a hidden motive. Whether she recognizes it or not, she is usually seeking to verify the existence and stability of the boundaries. So he offers how-tos of shaping a child's will. First, begin teaching respect for authority while children are very young, in the preschool years. Second, define the boundaries before they are enforced. Preceding any disciplinary event is the necessity of establishing reasonable expectations and boundaries for the child. Third, distinguish between willful defiance and childish irresponsibility. When accidents happen, patience and tolerance are the order of the day. Fourth, reassure and teach after the confrontation is over. By all means, open your arms and welcome her. Fifth, avoid impossible demands. Be absolutely sure that your child is capable of delivering what you require. And finally, let love be your guide. A relationship that is characterized by genuine love and affection is likely to be a healthy one. How would you describe your health care? The word affordable probably is not the first word that comes to mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We got to get almost right to our Facebook post. I do want to say some people are a little uncomfortable because, you know, we're a little bit more free. That's one of the things that I love about Chris Gordon is he knows, hey, if you're on radio, you have that opportunity to do it differently than a pastorate. From a pastoral point of view, for those that are listening to the show and you're thinking, gosh, it's too freewheeling for me, I've got three great things to tell you. One, you're legalistic. Two, take a deep breath. And three, change the channel. That'll solve all of those problems right there. All right, let's get ready. That was a very nice day. Hey, nobody said Dave was nice. You're supposed to be as nice as you can. This is me being as nice as I can. You should see when I'm not nice. Believe me. You know, it's so funny. People talk about their Thanksgiving dinners, you know, like, oh, Thanksgiving dinner, this happens, and people get upset. Did you know growing up, every night we ate dinner was Thanksgiving dinner? I don't know what people are talking about. Things go flying across the kitchen. That's how I grew up. We grew up communicating by arguing. I'm not argumentative. No, I'm not. Okay. Anyway, here. Did you get it? I'm not argumentative. No, I'm not. You got to be fast, man. That's a good one, huh? All right, let's do our Facebook post. It's entitled, Which One Are You Right Now? Right now, which one are you? Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Ooh. So the question is, which one are you right now? Again, I've mentioned this in the past. I just don't think, you know, Jesus talked in this really effeminate, quiet, super low tone. "Martha, Martha." I think it was like going, "Martha, Martha." I mean, that's pretty much the exasperation that most people would feel. The question is, are you a Martha or a Mary? Now, before somebody starts freaking out, this is about personality trait. I can't believe I have to explain those things. Personality trait. Get over it. So are you a Martha or are you a Mary? When people come over to the house, are you like, "I got to get this right. Is this right? Are you comfortable?" I'm much more of a Martha when we're entertaining. It's in the other things that I'm a Mary. It's the fact of the matter. But the question is, are you anxious and troubled, or are you sitting at his feet and listening? Ah, because if you're a person that can't approve of other people sitting at Jesus' feet and just listening, then you're a Martha. And as I look at this passage, and I'll check it again real fast. Okay, I did it. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. I don't see Jesus going, "Mary, Mary." I see Jesus saying, "Martha, Martha." Like, "Hey, Martha, Martha." In human terms, you know what Martha was saying? "It's not fair. It's not fair. I have to do all the work. My sister gets to go to, she gets to just sit there. She gets to have a bagel and cream cheese and lox and just sit there and listen to you. It's not fair." And I see in divine terms, Jesus going, "Too bad. Too bad. You should have sat down and had a bagel." That's what I think the thing that's getting missed is that Jesus is clearly on one side over the other. There's no, both are important. I'm not arguing that both are or are not important. I'm simply restating what Jesus stated. Martha was in the wrong, period. If you're Martha, you don't like it, talk to the Lord. You know, tell him you're right. Job tried that, didn't work so good. Here's the bottom line. All the things that you're going through, and all the things that you think are super, super, super important, and Tugboat Todd and I have discussed this multiple times, give me this exact scenario 50 years from now. How's it look? What? It doesn't matter? Okay, then how important is it? What's really important, Dave? So you're standing before God, and this person doing this way, the way you want them to, is really important. You can tell God that? Just curious if that's the conversation you think you're going to have. "Hi, God, why didn't my sister do this? Hi, God, why didn't my spouse do this? Hi, God, why didn't my child?" I don't think that's the conversation. I think the conversation is, "Thank you for letting me breathe." And that's the first million years. Then we'll see what happens after that. The point is that there's a stress to the things that we do because the world operates in a spirit of stressfulness. It's very human and normal. But since you are not normal and are born again, born from above, you're not supposed to be normal. You're supposed to be Christian, which is Christ-centered in everything you say, in everything you do, and in everything you think. That's the goal. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll come back. More insanity with Spoonanity.dn.